Alright, it's time for another episode of the Christian Reeve Podcast.
Oh, I can't wait! Oh, but if you're watching on YouTube, make sure to like, share, and subscribe. It really helps us out.
Yeah, make sure you leave a review on Podchaser, because if you don't, I'm gonna find you.
Why, mate? Calm down. Don't get too excited, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And also, make sure to leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts.
Yes, and wherever else you happen to be listening to the Christian Reeve Podcast.
Yes. And if you enjoyed the show, please make sure to share it with your friends. Spread the word.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. It means the world. Hope you enjoy it.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Christian Reeve Podcast. Today's guests are Charlotte Thomas and James Thomas. Welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Yeah, we're
pretty good. I'm just getting over a cold, so I've got a bit of a red nose and I might sound a bit bunged up. But apart from that,
we're great.
All good.
How are you? Good.
Yeah, wow. Okay, so I'm exhausted. But I'm here. I'm here right now. I'm here with you right now in this moment. I was a bit concerned about that as well, because I always, as you know, prepare a lot before any show, but I am exhausted. But I don't know. At the same time, I was looking forward to this because I'm working like crazy right now, back to back. I'm just kind of trying to take anything I can get. Mm-hmm. So everything creative in my life has kind of taken a bit of a side seat. I said this in a live stream recently that anytime I get to do anything remotely creative now, I'm just like so excited about it.
Yeah, I get that.
And I don't know, this show's interesting because it's a follow-up, and I've never really, in 4 years of podcasting, I've never done a follow-up show before.
Mm-hmm.
I've had some interesting comments over the years on various shows, but you know, I think a lot of the time in life you tend to go based on, especially if you're doing content creation, you do like what's based on demand. So if there's a call for it, you do that. Good example of that would be when I started transitioning this show more into like an interview discussion show, and then I made my show on Patreon, which is just me talking. That's kind of like two different avenues. So if you hate the sound of my voice, then don't go Patreon. If you like me with other people, then the podcast is for you.
Yeah,
you know, etc, filling in gaps. But like, I don't know, I guess I've been trying to open up what this show is. I find having a show where you explore different topics and not just doing a traditional interview is quite a good move, because obviously that topics get people engaged, get people interested, but also you can kind of have the best of both worlds. So because it kind of interested on that front. But it's interesting to me that I've in those 4 years, this is the first time it's come up, and it's kind of instigated by you as well. Cause I didn't plan this. I thought about it for sure. I was like, oh, there's definitely legs here to do follow-ups and stuff. But whenever anyone has ever said like, oh, hey, I'd love to be on the show again in the future, I always think like, okay, cool. And we'll do it later down the line. So like there's people that have been on the show before, repeat guests, but it's been like a year later. So
yeah, I got you. Yeah.
A lot happens in a year. But let's just start there. Like, why did you want to do this follow-up? Let's talk about that.
I think whenever I like make videos or like when we did the podcast, all the comments tend to be about how it's going to affect me in life and things like that. So I kind of wanted to be like, no, like we can talk between the two of us and we can both like explain our lives. And obviously there are women that do this and men that do this that are single and whatever, but it's more like, I don't know, people say, like, annoyingly they'll respect it more if it comes from you than if it comes from me.
We've had that quite a lot on lives and things like that where,
and then if they'll be like, oh, how could you even do that, how could your husband do that, and then they'll ask you and you explain it and they're like, oh, fair enough, I can respect that. And it's like so I think it was mostly for me, I just wanted to get James on and he can answer some questions and share your point of view a bit and just add a little bit more weight and broaden the horizon of what people are listening to, kind of thing.
Yeah, that's it. And I think, you know, adding weight is really the concept, isn't it? Because it's one thing for you to be sort of in a vacuum saying, no, I'm in a marriage, I'm in a happy marriage, and we make this work through open communication and things like that. But when we're both saying that, I think it obviously holds a lot more weight, you know. So
yeah, for sure, man. When I was looking through the comments, I found it quite interesting. And well, don't worry, guys, we will read some of those. Prepare yourselves. Some of them are quite, I don't know. I mean, I was expecting a little bit of backlash. I wasn't expecting like some of the things that people say. And I think, I mean, you kind of explained it quite well there. Like people just say things. They just say like, oh, you know, what's your future going to look like? And it's like, I think I'll say this, and we discussed this very briefly when you appeared on my show the first time, Charlotte, that like people think that you're a lot younger than you are. Yeah, so then people look at it like, oh no, like she's this young girl who's making a really bad decision. And
yeah,
I will say, I think there's some validity in that point of like, if you're a young woman and you're doing, say, OF or you're doing something like that, it's a consideration point. You do obviously have to think about, you know, the future and like, okay, I can do these things, but maybe I can't do these things. But then I don't know, I kind of got thinking about that as well as a just sort of general consideration point. Let's say you do OF like a few years and then you like retire and then, you know, you just move on and do like a different career later down the line. I don't see how it can affect the majority of careers. Like let's say you want to do like an office job. I don't see how that impairs your ability to have done that. Like people will talk about reputation, they'll be like, oh well, look, makes you look bad, da, 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 da. And I'm like, I don't know, how is it any different to like if you had like a modeling career when you were younger or whatever? Like what is the real difference? I don't see it.
I think unless you're going to get into like high-end politics, I really don't think it's going to impact anything. Really, you know.
I think the thing is as well as it, this form of this type of content is new. For it to be as like wildly available, and like it's not like you have to go into a studio and create a movie with other stars with a film crew anymore. Like you can do it, like anybody could do it now. So I feel like it's quite new and people don't know necessarily the impacts it is going to have. You don't know what's going to happen, but at the same time it's also becoming more and more popular and people are like, the stigma is slowly being broken down. So I feel like in another 10 years people just might not even care.
You don't
know how it's going to go.
That's the way I look at it as well. Like you mentioned politics there, James, like I always wondered about that as well. Like why does it matter if you did this thing at a different point in your life? Like, well, at that point in your life you probably hadn't considered a career in politics later down the line. We are different people at different points in our lives. Like you guys sitting here right now, you're going to be different in 10 years. I'm going to be different in 10 years. You know, like what you value. I mean, I suppose what you value for the most part remains the same over time, but like certain things change with time and experience. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I look at this very much like how we discussed in the first show. It's a form of content. And really, when you break it down, the only thing that really makes it stand out versus other forms of content is that it's sexual content.
Yeah.
If it wasn't that, it would literally just be like anything else. But mm-hmm. that's the thing that sticks in people's minds. They're like, oh no, like now your reputation is tarnished. It's completely, you know, awful. Da, 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 da. Like, I'll say this. If I was a business owner and you came into an interview,
mm-hmm.
and you told me that you'd done that,
mm-hmm.
the first question I'd probably ask you is, well, how successful were you with that?
Transferable skills. There's so many.
And that's what I think people should be looking at more so, like to address that comment, like, oh, you'll never get work again. Well, I look at it like, if you're that easy to discard something like that and not look at what that represents and how, like, I mean, you've been doing this quite a few years. You're living off it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say that makes you a successful businesswoman. And like we discussed before, I mean, it's content creation is marketing, advertising, sales, public relations. Like, yeah, do you mean? And you've got to structure all of your own time as well. So it's like, okay, I'm going to do X amount of content at this point in time, or, you know, plus you've got marriage, kids, you've got to balance that all out. You know, it's...
Yeah, for sure. There are so many transferable skills. I think, yeah, I don't see what kind of impact it will have on my, like, future career. But at the same time, like, I guess I'm fortunate that we're in a marriage as well. And we've kind of took it in turns throughout the years to be the main breadwinner.
Yeah.
And so if this crashed and I couldn't find work for whatever reason, like, you can go and be the breadwinner again.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
Or, like, you just, it's so hard to consider the impact in the future because you just don't know.
Let's explore that a little bit more. So let's suppose that you were going to just stop this tomorrow. What would be the plan for you guys moving forward? Like, how, what would you want to do? How would you steer things forward?
Me personally, I think I also have ties into the job I had before. I know that I could go back because we're still friends, kind of thing. And if she had hours, she would give them to me. Mm. Like, if I was going to pursue that.
If she didn't have hours, she would give them to you.
Yeah. She's lovely. But you could probably work full time tomorrow. Like,
oh, yeah,
your boss is always asking you, can you work more hours, more hours? So I think, yeah, we're pretty safe in the way that we've done it. Like,
oh, absolutely, yeah. We've got a lot of and that those are like the two easiest options, in terms of me going full-time in the job that I'm currently part-time
and at, me going part-time,
or you going back
in the job.
To the job that you used to have. But, you know, we've got a lot of options and availability realistically if we did want to change. I don't realistically see that being a thing happening.
No, I think
in the short term, I can imagine you'd spend probably more time pursuing
YouTube,
doing your ASMR and things like that, which is something that you're really passionate about, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, for me, I'm quite enjoying not working full time.
Nice,
I know Charlotte touched on this a little bit on the previous show. But yeah, from my perspective, I used to work in hospitality way back when, and so I used to do some really horrific hours, a lot of very stressful customer facing work. It was pretty unpleasant for us as a family and for me as an individual, you know. Still before Charlotte did any of this work, I did change careers and start working in an office, which was a lot more, it was just a lot better for us, a lot better for me, a lot more family friendly. But I always wanted an opportunity to sort of be the primary caregiver for our family, you know. And Charlotte doing this has provided us an opportunity where I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been lovely, you know, it's been really, really good.
Yeah.
And talking about, you know, Charlotte becoming a successful businesswoman, I was, you know, working my way up the career ladder within hospitality, sort of managing hotels, running hotels. Then I did a similar thing in an office, got promotion after promotion after promotion. I got, what, 4 promotions in a series of about 3 years or something like that, within the office that I was in. And then even after that, within your first 2 months, you were earning more money than
two
I.
Weeks.
Yeah, you were earning more money than I've ever earned at any of my jobs. So, you know, and I was able to sort of support us financially.
Yeah.
With any of those jobs, you know. So, yeah, successful is one word. Yeah, I'd say so.
Glad to hear it, man. I'd love to explore a little bit more about like how it's changed, like both of yours lifestyle from a family perspective, because I heard you sort of just lay it out there for a second, and I think that's quite interesting because like how many kids really get to spend time with like both their parents? Like normally, as you say, there'll be one parent that works slightly more than the other or something, assuming it's like a standard, so let's talk about that a little bit more. Like how is it made you better parents. Let's go there.
I think for us as well, it's really important because the kids are home educated. And like, so we just have a bigger responsibility to like be there with them. And you have to be, proactive a lot because of the way that we do things as well, is that we're quite like, the education is child led. So we go by what they're interested in, and we see their little brain sparks and little like, oh, this thing's like, go down this avenue, and you have to kind of be on the in the moment. Absolutely. Like, let's go down that route.
You have
route
to
then.
Really jump on opportunities and provide a lot of resources sort of ad hoc and constantly. It's so, not about just going, well, this is going to be our plan for the next month, and
that's not the
way that we operate it.
And so I think us both being able to, because you, James works from home 3 out of his 4 days as well. So although he is working, you can, like, they can still come up to you and be like, oh, what's this thing? And then, you know, he's there and I'm there, and then I work from home. And so, yeah, we're just always in the house together.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, most of every week, it's the five of us together, you know?
Yeah, so I think, I don't know about how it makes us better parents, but it definitely enables us to provide a home education that I think we wouldn't be able to do as much if we were both work, like if we weren't at home as much as we are.
Yeah,
it would be near impossible to provide a home education for them.
No,
like,
no,
yeah, just yeah.
Well, I think where I was coming at it from as well is that, like, you're able to be around more. Do you know what I mean? Like, that right there is huge for, like, so many parents, like, that, like, want to be there or can't or whatever. Yeah. Like, yeah, like, jobs can get in the way. And it's great that we have a lot more roles that are based at home, like remote based and stuff like that. And now you've got something, you know, you've got options there. You've got a career that enables you to work from home, James, and then same for yourself, Charlotte. And it's then it comes together and you're able to do all these other things. And that, I mean, that's, I think, going to be invaluable to your kids moving forward as well, like just having that kind of support. And
I think there. That's the thing that is like so important to us as well, when people say, like, consider the impact of your future, consider the impact of this or whatever. And I'm like, but right now in this moment, and for the last 4 years, it's worked so well for us as a family. And that's more important to me than any career that I might not be able to do in the future.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is their childhood, you know, and it does go quickly. You know, our oldest is 13 now. So we can attest that it does go quick. They do grow up quick. And these are like the key years, you know, and for us to be able to provide this for them.
Yeah.
You know,
well, we've said before, haven't we? Like, we could put the kids into school. Mm. We could work more. We could like pay for after school childcare, and we could end up earning so much more money if we both worked full time.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd be able to get a mortgage, and we'd be able to buy a house and do all of those things. But we're just putting all of that on the future plans. That's something we'll do when the kids have grown up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for now, we're quite happy to just spend more time with the kids and not worry so much about being more successful.
I think that's what is different about you compared to some of the successful so as I was saying, I think the difference between Charlotte and a lot of other you know, successful people who use OF is that you're not necessarily a financially motivated person. It's not the thing you think about when you wake up. It's not the thing you think about when you go to sleep. Our family has always been our first priority. And this is an avenue to help to support that, you know. Not to say that you don't enjoy various different aspects of your job, you know.
For sure. It's just that it's the flexibility of the hours and stuff.
Yeah, that's it. I just wouldn't say that you're necessarily a salesman, and don't think you really look at your job in terms of numbers, you know.
Yeah.
And I think it can be quite apparent with some other successful OnlyFans people that that is their sort of primary motivation, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, I get it from a sales perspective. Like, if you want to just like kind of grind and grind and grind and see how much you can get from it, like, I understand that to an extent, but to what end? You know, I mean, like, with you guys, you've got a family, you've got kids, and it's like, I mean, why would you want to spend all that time? You want to spend time with them and do stuff together and like enjoy life. Like, I think something that I really identify with you guys on is this idea of prioritizing experiences. Like, I'm the same. Like, I'd rather spend the money now and just enjoy my life now and then just work later. Like, you know, I mean, I'm going to have to work either way anyway. Might as well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's because I think a lot of people miss out on that. They'll do the whole classic, oh, I'll work 40 odd years and then I'll retire and then enjoy the money then. And it's like, well, sorry to be morbid, but like, who says you're going to live that long?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's that to consider. And then there's also just like, why not enjoy life while you're young and have the energy rather than tired and just, you know what I mean? Like, the amount of people I've seen who have retired and then their body deteriorates and then they get ill and, or they pass away or whatever. And it's like, I personally believe in the idea of like never retiring, but like obviously slowing it down. So you don't work at the same energy you did when you were 20, but but you just always have like a bit of, and also it's good for structure. I think more than work, like, and money and stuff, we just need that sense of purpose in our lives.
Yeah. Well, I think that's, obviously it's not retirement as such, but that's something that made you go back to work, wasn't it? Because you had a year off with the kids and then you were like, okay, I'm ready to work part-time now.
Yeah, yeah. Continue to have that interaction with adults sort of thing.
Yeah.
And that's something that happened the other way around before you started doing this work, when you were doing other work, wasn't it? I mean, originally I was the only one working, and then...
Yeah, I was at college and stuff.
Yeah, then when I was in the office and so I wasn't working quite so crazy hours, it afforded you the opportunity to then work part-time as well.
Yeah, and that was more for my mental health than anything else.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
So...
It's tough, man. I got a few more questions before we delve into the comments, because that's gonna be a lot. Because I'm quite enjoying this conversation, and also I felt like, just as a side point, this was kind of the most important element of this show, was like demonstrating that you can have a successful family life off the back of this. What I was getting from the comments is like, don't get me wrong, there were some horrible people and stuff, just people that are very entitled and seem to just think they could say whatever they want, but then that's the internet, people will just say things at you, sure, won't they? But there was like this sense of like concern for you guys as well, like, oh, but they're not thinking about this, or they're not thinking about this. And I always find it interesting that when you guys respond in the comments and you'll say like, let's say it's a marriage comment, and they'll be like, oh, well, I mean, been together 15 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then they're like, oh,
yeah.
And it's like, yeah, okay. And it's like, I don't know. I mean, maybe you should do more content like this. I know you've done a little bit of stuff on YouTube together and whatnot, but like, I think there's something there. I think there's something being missed from people where they're thinking maybe that you guys being like reckless, and it's like, that can be farther from the truth, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And it's definitely something we've considered. It's actually probably something that you've pushed quite a bit more. I think time restraints is part of the challenge for that. Finding time when we can
both work
together is fairly limited. And also, although I like talking and I'm quite an extroverted person, I wouldn't say that I've got necessarily like a passion for being on camera and talking and communicating with people and providing that sort of content. It's not...
you're just not a big social media guy.
No, that's it. It's not something that, like, you know, if you look on my TikTok, they're quite limited and quite few and far between. When I feel like making a TikTok, I'll make a TikTok, and as such, there's one every couple of months or something like that. It's not something...
Well, the original plan was
drive, you know,
for you to... It's, your username is Life of an OF Husband.
Yeah.
And the original plan was it was going to be Day in the Life of You. Or,
yeah, that's it.
Like, what am I
providing
doing?
My perspective on what it's like to be the partner, to be the other half kind of thing. But yeah, it didn't really happen because I just don't particularly have the passion for it. I think it's a fantastic idea, and I think the content would be pretty good. And I've got a really good perspective on it. I'm just probably not the right person to do it because it doesn't excite me. So it's not something I sort of make the time for, you know?
Well, like,
time's a bit limited, so.
I have you here, James, so I'm going to put you on the spot. What is it like being the husband of an OnlyFans model?
On the whole, I think it's pretty good. You know, I get a lot of comments, oh, James is so lucky. James is a very lucky guy, you know. and I just nod, yeah, yeah, life's pretty good. I can say with a lot of confidence that in all the different iterations of work-life balance that we've tried as a family, this is definitely the best that we've had. And I can also say with confidence that me and Charlotte are closer than we've ever been before. And we've always tried to pursue and maintain an open and honest relationship with lots and lots of communication. And I think that's the key to any relationship is communication, but particularly an intimate one. But because of the sexual nature of OnlyFans work, I think it is, I wouldn't say forced is the right word, but it's allowed us to communicate even more about a lot of subjects that you might at first feel a bit uncomfortable sort of broaching. And so I just think that's led us to be closer than ever and communicate and feel comfortable communicating about absolutely anything, you know?
Yeah, it's awesome to hear.
So yeah, I'm sitting pretty tidy. I wouldn't say it's everything's completely perfect and it's all roses, you know. It's not. There's always going to be challenges and complications in any avenue you try and take in life, you know. And at first, for the first couple of months, although we tried really hard to, like I say, communicate and talk about where our boundaries were and things like that, I think there was a sort of learning curve about sort of, for example, me going, okay, well, this is my boundary. And then going a couple of weeks later, okay, I know I said this was my boundary, but actually I'm a bit uncomfortable about this. Can we, you know, look at that and whatever else? It's obviously been, 4 years now, nearly.
Yeah, I feel like
I think we're well past that now.
Yeah, so I feel like at the beginning you were like, okay, I'm happy with this stuff, and then it happened, and you were like, no, I'm not happy.
No,
with
that didn't
stuff.
Feel
we
nice.
We need to bring it back, and now after 4 years, you're kind of like, yeah,
all
right. That's all right.
Let's explore that a little bit. So, was it like concern on your part? Because obviously, it's an obvious thing to say, but like, what was your concern initially? Was it like, oh, I don't know if we should be doing that? Like, were you thinking like of the future?
Before she started doing the work and when we were first talking about the work, I don't think I had any concerns at all, to be honest. I don't think I was worried or concerned about anything. And like Charlotte said on the previous show, she did some sort of
camming
work way back when. And that was perfectly comfortable and we didn't really have much in the way of issues there. Once you started doing the OnlyFans work, I think the thing that I struggled with and the thing I probably wasn't prepared for, and it seems to be the thing that a lot of people when they first go into this work is something that they're not prepared for or aware of, is how much work it is. And I think that's what I struggled with, was that we would be out on a walk or out on a drive or whatever, and Charlotte would be answering messages and whatever else, and I'm like, we're on a nice walk, like look at the view kind of thing. And it's just something that I wasn't prepared for and I wasn't aware of, was the sort of requirement to be on duty every day, every single day. And it's noticeable when you take a day off, you know?
Yeah.
And even then, a day off isn't really a day off. You're still checking in, you're still doing this, you're still doing that, you know?
And I think as well, at the beginning, so that was the thing, is that not only am I not giving you as much as attention as I could before, and like we're out on walks,
yeah,
and even on holidays, I'm like constantly on my phone, like working. I didn't take a holiday for like the first 2 years. The other side of it is that I'm messaging other men, making like connections.
Yeah, yeah.
Talking about our favorite books, and you're like, I like that book.
Yeah.
that makes such perfect sense as well. I never considered that. Yeah.
So I think that was a big thing at the beginning, and obviously it was new to me, so I wasn't managing myself very well either. So I wasn't like, oh, okay, we need to have some connection. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, oh my God, I've got this new job. It's like, it's really demanding. I need to be there. And obviously in the beginning as well, I earned like £1,000 or $1,000 in the first week. And so I'd never earned that money before, because I always worked part time. I used to earn like £400 a month. So to make £1,000 in my first week, I was like, this is crazy. Yeah. And like, so you see these numbers rolling in, and I'm like, oh my God, I need to do more. I need to be there. And so, and also I think as well, is that in the first month or so, I am guilty in that it was fun to meet these people and to interact with these people, and I was building connections. And that's the bit where I kind of messed up a bit, because I didn't know where the line was as well. So I'm kind
of yourself, like emotionally.
So I'm kind of becoming quite friendly with these people. And then you're like, hey, and the first couple of months were a bit rocky of trying to find all that shit out, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And then we got through it, and I feel like we're good now.
We're very comfortable.
Yeah.
No issues. But I think that's maybe a misconception, is that like people think that the issue or the thing that would have been difficult for me was the nature of the content that Charlotte was providing. And for me personally, that's just not true at all. That was never a worry of mine, was, you know, different boundaries in terms of the type of content.
No, that's fine.
No,
yeah.
I wouldn't go, well, you know, you can show the top half, but I don't want you to show the bottom or anything like that. That was never really anything that worried me at all. There's only one real boundary that I have with that, is that, like, if you need a male participant, I'm here. I volunteer.
Oh, yeah.
Some
people ask for videos with a male participant, but then to say their name.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's one that we're no, we're not going to do that.
No, that doesn't really feel comfortable.
No, yeah, it feels a bit awkward, doesn't it?
Yeah,
we're not doing that.
Wild, man.
Yeah.
I always forget, like, what we're talking about. For a second. Shit, man. Just changes. What? You know, that kind of brings us to the comment section, because it is just an interesting sort of gauge into how people view this,
mm-hmm.
and what, you know, because I think one of the things that we discussed when you were on the show last, Charlotte, was that for the most part, people are very nice, and, you know, it's like any other form of content, really, isn't it? It's just,
mm-hmm.
but it's sexual, and but there is like a connection, there's a constant dialogue, there's this, that, and the other, and you create, you know, your vision for it. And what you kind of said was that your vision for it is sort of girl next door kind of vibes, and mm-hmm. and that's like your corner of the market, and that kind of, and that works,
mm-hmm.
right? But in the comment section, I think what I'm gauging here is, I think there's jealousy, I think there's misunderstanding, I think there's maybe frustration. You know, I've received many hate comments.
It is the internet.
I posted a clip the other day on TikTok, and someone said it was like a boring wet fart or something. I don't know, like that. And they were like, oh, why would you post a clip this long telling a story? And I was like, well, is that not the point of a clip from a podcast?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the podcast is 2 hours long. That was 4 minutes. This, I don't know.
Yeah.
And they're like, yawn, boring. And I'm like, I mean, that used to get to me years ago. Now I just find it funny.
I think no matter what, people just... I saw, we saw a video just before we came on this, didn't we? We were watching reels or whatever, and there was a man who was gifted a puppy, and he was like crying with emotion and so happy he got this puppy. And then I opened the comments, didn't I, and the top one, and you were like, "Don't open the comments."
Just clashing this guy because he was crying.
Really?
Yeah,
obviously, because it's the internet, you know, and people
and
just.
I opened the comments thinking everyone would be like sending love, and you were like, "No,
no, rule number one: you should never open the comments section on a video."
I tend to now because there's rarely any comments. But I think if you're getting a lot, it's probably
You have to
a good idea.
But I think the point is people will just hate on anything.
Yeah, and I think what was evident in the comments, and I know you're going to sort of lead this, but I just kind of wanted to get this out, was that. And the thing that tends to frustrate you about it isn't necessarily the nature of the comments or the negativity. It's that they obviously haven't listened to the whole clip.
Yeah.
And they'll you're never going to get married at this rate. If you just wait 10 seconds, she'll talk about how she's married.
Yeah.
You know? So people were always so quick to comment. And express their opinion and express that they'll obviously feel some way, like you say, it might be jealousy, it might be whatever, and they feel this thing and they have to comment it out, but they don't even like look to get the full information before they do that, you know, and that tends to frustrate you a bit, doesn't it?
I get this a lot on live streams, and I think that it's an impulse thing.
There are
just a lot of people out there that just spend their time really fucking angry at the world, right? And so like they'll see me on a live stream, and then Charlotte, I know you've seen the lives, don't know if you've seen them, James. It's pretty straightforward. It's just me sitting down talking to people, sometimes I play music, that's about it really. But every now and again you'll get a comment that come through and someone will be like, "Oh, you're such a arrogant piece of shit, you think a lot of yourself, da-da-da-da-da-da-da." And but they've been there like 5 seconds, but they get a snapshot of what they think you are.
That is
key. I think there's a snapshot, people get an idea, but they, as you said, they don't explore that. They don't look at like, okay, so this is the full picture.
No.
They just see something and it annoys them and they just spew venom. And I think that's...
I swear half of them aren't even looking anyway. They're just trying to start arguments.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably. Like, it's just their little thing that they like to just have. And they'll be like, "Oh, it's just banter." And
can't take a joke. Or...
Yeah. Oh, great.
Yeah.
That's like shit I used to say when I was a kid, man.
Yeah.
We said this last time, but it's like, what the hell?
Yeah, just joking.
All right. Okay. Should we jump into the cesspit?
Okay.
Ready?
Right. Yeah.
I'm going to quote these.
Yeah.
Okay. I might even give them voices. I don't know. Well, who are we to judge? Not everyone is cut out for the traditional family model and marriage and kids and all that. So if you know it's not for you, why wouldn't you maximize the path you are on?
Yeah. I did see this one and I said to you, didn't I? It's like, I can't tell if they're trying to be nice or not.
Yeah.
And like, obviously, it's like a compliment, but backhanded or something. It's like, oh, thanks, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
And that this is kind of what I mean, that like...
They obviously just don't know.
They obviously don't know that you're married with kids, which is very clear if you listen to the podcast or a lot of your content, a lot of your TikToks or whatever are not absent. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's quite funny, I think. Yeah.
Well, that's what I noticed when I did my research into your stuff, and it just feels weird saying this with your husband here as well now. So I'll clear this up now. I felt very uncomfortable because obviously Charlotte's a friend, and so I had to look at it to get an idea of like how it was marketed across all these platforms, right?
Yeah.
But to the point, it was interesting because I'd say like 90% of it was just Charlotte on her own, and you wouldn't necessarily know that Charlotte has a partner by the way it's advertised, but it's not hidden either, because then you can find that content and you do speak about it. And so I think it's more kind of like where you found the content and how you've interacted it and accessed it.
I suppose, yeah, I find that really interesting, actually, because we've talked before that you'll have sort of someone who's been a subscriber or been a fan for a really long time. And then they'll go, "Oh, you're married."
Yeah.
And you're like, how can they not know I'm married after they've been following me for 2 years or whatever else?
Yeah,
because I feel like I'm quite an active participant. Like we said earlier, I definitely there's definitely room for me to do more from my perspective to be more involved with this stuff. But I don't feel like I'm not an active participant within your work. And you know, there's a lot of your longtime subscribers and fans who I feel like I know quite well, and we've got quite a positive relationship with. You know, Charlotte will be on a TikTok live, I'll walk past the screen, and then as I'm walking out the door, Charlotte will go, "Oh, Richard said hi, Ian said hi," or whatever. I'm like, "Oh, hi," you know, whatever, and I'll carry on doing what I'm doing. So I feel like I'm very much involved with it all, but I suppose you're right, actually, and it's not something that I unnecessarily considered, but like the majority of your content on whatever avenue is actually doesn't
convince yeah, and me, a I lot suppose. Of content creators will have men in their content, but they're not married to them.
Sure, yeah, that's so true.
They,
yeah,
as some people do be like
that.
Yeah, they say. Yeah, that man in your videos, and then like, you mean my husband? Yeah, no, I suppose
you should have run with it just as a character, the man in the video, like the mysterious
man.
Character.
Yeah. I don't know who he is. He just shows up.
It just happens to live at my house.
Yeah.
All right, so this might have been the most brutal comment. I'm just gonna read it.
Yeah.
Because she has zero other value or skills, she is and has accepted she is only good for one thing that can provide degenerate value.
Wow.
It's
just nonsense though, isn't it? I think with things like that, and I just I don't know come up with that.
No, I think it's this thing that you mentioned, Christian. It's like an impulse thing. How anyone can assume from one particular video that somebody doesn't have any other skills. It's absolutely bizarre. How could you possibly make that assumption, you know? She could have a PhD in marine biology, for you know? Do you know what I mean?
I don't.
Well, no. Absolutely bizarre that you'd make that jump to that from there.
I think as well, like, people connect it with other things they've seen. Like, there are people out there that do OnlyFans, that are in couple relationships, and they're insufferable. You guys are awesome. You're like a wholesome example of where it goes right. And it's really nice to see that. But I think the people have this idea in their head and they just attribute that to everyone. Giving another example from my own life, like, I remember one comment I got about the podcast was, "Oh God, another actor who think they can do a podcast, like, oh geez, give it up," right? And I'm like, have you listened to the show? Like, I've been doing this 4 years, and I don't like to compliment myself. I hate it, in fact. But I will say this. I think I've proven over the years I'm a good interviewer and that I can do a good podcast. But it came from working my ass off and like really trying to figure out what makes a good show, what doesn't make a good show. I mean, shit, I used to listen to a show, shout out to Who Are These Podcasts, who would literally break down why a show is bad. Yeah. Like, as in, like, what to avoid. And I pay a lot of attention to what's out in the public sphere as far as podcasts and clips are concerned. And, you know, just I try to avoid all of that and break it down to like what a podcast should be and what it used to be.
Yeah.
But it's difficult to communicate that. And especially with a clip, I mean, you've got like not long to really like gauge into people's minds and throw them an idea of like, this is what this is. This is what we are. You know, and maybe it's not even the best representation of you, you know? I'm sure you get the same thing sometimes, Charlotte, where maybe you'll post a photo and maybe that's the first photo that anyone's seen of you and you get like a negative shitty comment and it's like, well, this person's only seen 1/50th of what I can do and what is valuable about me and like all this different stuff. And it's like, it is that same snapshot thing. I think we're going to probably keep returning to that point, but this idea that like people just see you in a box and they can't see you outside of that.
Yeah for sure. And I don't obviously understand the psychology so much either, because if it was me, and I do scroll upon videos and I'm like, oh, I don't like that, I just
scroll on
and I don't take the time out of my day to comment something negative, and I just don't get it personally.
I think, like Christian said, it comes from a point of anger maybe.
Yeah.
And you're not necessarily an angry person and you're looking for the positivity in your life. And, you know, if you find something that doesn't give you positivity, you just move away from it and then carry on with the positive things. Other people, they want to look for something to
be angry at,
be able to express their frustrations about, you know, and whatever else. So they come across a thing and they go, ah, da, 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 you know.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing I've gauged as well with the hate comments that I get is that they're looking for fights.
Yeah.
And they get really disappointed when you don't give that. They're like, oh, like I, in the comments I've received recently, I've either just posted like laughing faces or I've like purposely put it on the story as like a kind of like hall of fame. Like, oh, check out this crazy comment I got. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I like it. It's good. Like any interaction is good because you're getting people at least, I think it's better than apathy. I'll say that much. But I don't take it too seriously because it's not like, how can you take it seriously? Like it comes from nothing. Like if someone like would watch this show and be like, oh, Christian's a terrible host and this is why, I'd be like, all right, well, fair enough. That's, you know, that's your opinion. And maybe there's some truth in that. But if they just turn around and go, Christian's an asshole.
Total asshole.
And like, I hate him. And it's like, but where's that coming from?
That's just you projecting.
And I feel like much of the hate that you guys have received is just that. It's just someone projecting. Yeah. They're just pissed off because they see you guys doing well and they're like, nah, fuck them.
Yeah. It's, the hate's always directed at me as well. It's not at you. And you're in the videos.
Yep.
Like, you were also in part of the sexual content.
Yeah.
And they don't think, oh, he's ruined his future career.
I can't I can't think of a time I've ever had a negative. That's a really good point. No one's ever asked, how's it going to affect me in the future? At no point. No one worries about that. They just assume it's going to be fine. Why? What? You know, it's very peculiar.
Move it forward. Nothing is for free. If you are doing something that appears too good to be true, it isn't. The bill just hasn't arrived in the mail yet. I was a little bit confused about what this person meant, so I tried to like ask them for more, and there was a few more comments afterwards. So I'm going to kind of run through all these, because this began like a whole the rabbit hole.
Okay.
Sometimes things are also just too good for you to realize it for what it is. The obvious one is that it will shut you out of job opportunities. She will never be able to allow to be a teacher of children if found out, in brackets. Like, she's just suddenly like, oh my God. Like, secondly, it will certainly cut back on the types of men who will marry her. Generally, high value men. Finally, the time you spend doing OnlyFans instead of developing a long career will hurt her earning power in the future. For example, even if you have a degree, but then you spent 4 years doing nothing after graduation, but play video games, it will be a big, very unimpressive hole in your resume. But most of all, those things are made up. Consequences of society. And considering the small number of actual high-value men, this is that's not really a big risk either. As for the time spent hurting a long-term career, well, that's just silly. You can produce a month of content in a single 8-hour day while going to school or working full-time. And let's say they take the OF money and invest it, for example, in real estate or some other diversified portfolio. In only a few years, they will not need a traditional career. And then this final comment, just to tie it all up, so the good and the bad. Even if they are made up consequences, they are still consequences. You may say that pit bulls are made vicious just because jerks seem to like pit bulls. In the end, you are surrounded by vicious pit bulls, but it doesn't matter how they are created. There's nothing you can do about it. I think this person just has an issue with pit bulls. But so there's kind of a breakdown of everything. That was kind of the biggest takeaway I would say I got from these comments is, As I mentioned earlier, people concerned about this idea that you guys could be happy together as a result of this, how it's going to affect your future, etc. Yeah. A lot of comments directed towards Charlotte and this idea of, oh, well, she'll never find a man, she'll never be happy, she'll never do this, that, and the other. And I don't know. I mean, shame on some of you guys, because, like, come on, man. High value men, what the fuck is that? Like, as a I read that and I just didn't know what to say. I was just shocked. But let's break it down. What are your thoughts?
I think for me, the first thing is that he gets to decide what a high value man is. And I feel like each woman or each person who's looking for a man is going to decide what a high value man is for them. Obviously, there's like your standard red flags. He's one of them. but I just don't get how you get to choose what a high value man is.
I just find it quite funny. Maybe I'm reading between the lines a little bit here. Maybe I'm completely off the mark, but for me, it feels like somebody who's trying to show that they're intelligent and failing. And I think trying to come across with all these really clever points and analogies about pit bulls, you know, I think he needs to go to some authority and point to where the pit bulls hurt him. maybe he's bitter because, you know, he considers himself a high quality man and other people don't share that opinion. I don't know. Like yeah. I said, maybe I'm way off the point here, but that's what I see when I read between the lines mm-hmm. on a comment like that, is someone who's bitter, you know, and mm-hmm. extrapolating nonsense yeah. in the attempt to sound intelligent, you know?
That's why I brought up the point about jealousy earlier, because when I read these comments, I was like, I find it very confusing that a stranger would start commenting on such things. Like, obviously people can write whatever the fuck they want, and I welcome any and all comments, even bad comments. I think it's important to have opinions and I don't want to silence that. But at the same time, if you are gonna post comments where you have like concerns, I guess, about the creator, the person speaking in the video, etc., I feel like there's a very clear distinction between genuine concern and mm-hmm. issues and trying to raise an argument versus projection. I'd see this yeah. as projection. I can't help but look at it and go, okay, so they don't like James and they're jealous of James. They don't like, they're annoyed at Charlotte for being successful in this, right? Like that's the way I look at it, is they're annoyed yeah. at the both of you, so they attack. And I mean, it happens. I've had some really horrible comments over the years on the podcast and directed at me personally as well. And I mean, I think your reaction says everything, you know, like we've seen it in live streams. We've both, you know, been on TikTok for many years. And if you feed into it, people love it. And obviously they're probably sitting there with their screen record going, ha, look at what I made them do. Whereas if you just don't give shit,
yeah,
people, they get bored really quickly and they're like, oh, well, I'm gonna leave. Like, I've literally had people go like, oh, well, I'm gonna leave then, and I'm like, all right,
yeah,
bye,
yeah.
Like, see ya. Like, I don't know, like that's what they're looking for. And I think that yeah. maybe that's a maturity thing. You just get older, you stop caring about certain things, you just care about what's important to you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, it seems very clear that you guys are just very family orientated, you know, you've made this work. It's a success story and it's yeah. really just nice to see. And yeah. that kind of leads me into my sort of final, but let's have a final question to wrap it up. What advice could you give to other couples in a similar situation? Let's say you got two people and they're just starting this out. They're a bit concerned about this. Don't know how to make it work. Well, given the benefit of your experience and wisdom, how could you advise them?
So I guess one of the first things that we would have to say is that it just does take a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's not absolutely. Just like you can just post a few videos and then you just make money. It's not as simple as that. And so just having that awareness going into it that you are going to, especially in the beginning, if you want to build, it's like easier once you kind of build to maintain.
Yeah.
But like if you're going to build, then you're going to have to put the hours in.
Yeah.
So I guess, yeah, making sure you have time for each other as well without the cameras on and stuff. So I think that was something that I struggled with a bit, yeah. which I mentioned in the last podcast, is, not always having to be on camera. What about you, Jim?
I think, like you said, that it's hard work, you know, yeah. And you've had quite a few people who have come to you with advice and yeah. asked for sort of support when they're starting up this kind of work.
Oh, yeah, quite a and few then friends, actually.
Friends and even other people.
Other, yeah.
And you've, like, helped promote them and whatever else. And then a month down the line, they've dropped it all because I guess they didn't anticipate how hard it would be to do. And that it's not just about just getting your kit off and just filming it and that'll do. And then it'll, you know, make money. It's not that simple. It's a lot of work and it requires a lot of
it is a job.
Input and a lot of maintenance.
Don't
you know?
Think it's a job, but it is a job.
No, that's it. That would be point number one. And I think point number two for me would be, about, like I said earlier, about the communication. You know, and as a couple, I don't think, maybe I'm way out of line here, I don't think you could have a successful relationship and do this job if you weren't good at communicating openly with each other. I think maybe there'll be people that will do it and either they won't have a healthy relationship or they won't be able to do the job properly, one or the other, if they're unable to express how they're actually feeling, what they're actually comfortable and what they're actually uncomfortable with. If they're not expressing that to the people that they care about and burying it deep down, long term, that's not going to be good for anybody, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a lifestyle choice that we have where it wouldn't work if we didn't talk to each other about how we're feeling, you know?
Yeah.
Very, very important, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's really valuable. Thank you for sharing that, man. Really appreciate that. Actually, there was one thing I wanted to ask before we sort of wrap it up. So we opened it up online. We tried to like promote it a little bit, this show, and see if there was any comments that people had. I didn't have any received on my end. I think the only vibe that people really had was just wanting to understand why you get hate and stuff like that. So, but did you receive any comments, any questions your end, Charlotte?
Oh, I only got two. I think I sent you the two that I got. One was about how do we have the time to manage it all?
Okay.
Like, or how do we manage our time or something? And it is with great difficulty for a start. Like, it is constantly kind of evolving. Again, lots of communication. I need time to do this. You need time to do that. The kids have this thing that this needs doing. And it's like always like, and sometimes we're both be running on 100% more for like a week and we're both so tired and like, and then other times we can afford a bit more of a break.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's just ever evolving.
We don't have lots of free time at all.
No. Well, yeah. I suppose we do make time,
yeah.
Sometimes, yeah. It's not straightforward, is it? Mm-hmm. Like, especially soon because you're going to be starting
a little bit.
You're going to be doing a course, aren't you?
Within my work I'm doing a course. Which means I'm up in my hours, which is going to just be one more thing to juggle.
Yeah, but, you know, it's just life, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I don't really know how else to answer that. It's just constantly evolving, constantly communicating, figuring out. We've got calendars.
Juggling, moving things around all the time.
Yeah.
For sure. What was the other comment you had, Jesus?
Well, I think it's your one.
Oh! I can't even remember what I commented, but just some compliment about me.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I remember seeing this. Something like
how's your husband so dashing or something?
Yeah.
I do that quite a bit when Charlotte posts question and answer things on her Instagram or whatever.
Yeah.
It tickles me. It makes me laugh. But the thing is as well, this isn't really relevant to what we're talking about, but I did want to cover it up while we're talking about comments that you receive or whatever else. We've obviously touched on quite a bit the sort of negativity that we sometimes receive, but I'd say 99% of the comments and the interaction that you have with people in your lives or people on all of your stuff is so overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah.
And we are really grateful for that, you know, and we're really grateful for the support and the interaction that we've had from the people, you know, who have supported us over the years, support Charlotte in particular, you know. And we obviously wouldn't be able to do this without them, you know.
Yeah, that is true. There's a lot of people as well. Like even new people, like people that have been from the beginning, but like most people, I did say last time, most people are so nice.
Yeah.
And
I think, you know, you talk about stigma of people in Charlotte's position who are doing this kind of work, but I think there's often a lot of stigma about the consumer of this mm-hmm. sort of work as well. Mm. You know, you talk about, oh, weird quests or whatever else, and people assume a lot of things about people who might subscribe to OnlyFans and things like that. And I think in our experience and from what you've said to me about a lot of messages and things like that, overwhelmingly just not true. And no. Overwhelmingly it's a lot of people who are just looking for sort of real human interaction, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
They're just lovely people who are just looking for a certain type of content, you know.
A lot of them do like work a lot, and so they just need someone to kind of talk to in the evenings, isn't it? It's just
absolutely. It's not, you know, sort of island of misfit toys of people who are unable to.
There's a sprinkling of that.
Yeah.
But
they're unable to have a relationship or unable to, you know, have a sexual relationship. It's so much not that, and so much just, you know, like I say, lovely people who are just after a certain type of content.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the bulk of your subscribers, and that's the bulk of the people who support us and allow us to live the lifestyle we do, you know?
Yeah, that's really true. But I see a lot of people on podcasts and stuff, and then, I see, like, you know, the ones that are clickbait for OnlyFans models, and then on another podcast, they're mocking OnlyFans, and it's like, I just find that. But anyway, and they're all like, have you subscribed? Have you subscribed? Have you subscribed? And no one wants to, like, own up if they have or not. And, I think that's another stigma that kind of needs to be broken, isn't
Absolutely.
It? It's like, because you're supporting someone as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously, it's a different kind of content and stuff, but I personally don't see much difference between OnlyFans and Patreon. You're just subscribing to a different kind of content, and you're supporting that individual and allowing them to continue creating.
I think it's like what we discussed last time, this idea of it comes from that simp thing of people just and like I think that can be very unfair for a lot of people, because as you said, if you really break it down, it is just another form of content. Yeah. Like I said, it's very similar to the Patreon offering model. Like, a lot of the things, the way that you market your content, Charlotte, is I do the same things with my content. Like, same exact stuff. Like, mm-hmm. it's the only difference is that you're appealing to people on a sexual nature.
Yeah.
That's literally the only difference, you know?
Yeah, for sure. It's there is, like, you're right, there's a stigma about it, isn't there?
Yeah.
For the consumer. But you wouldn't belittle someone for subscribing to a Patreon.
No.
So.
No. Well, no, I wonder sometimes why that is, like, if it's like maybe a status thing, like maybe like people just tearing each other down, like, oh, well, you don't have this, so therefore you must be a loser if you subscribe to this. And it's like, I think what you said there before about like the timing aspect, like some people just don't have the time to meet anyone. Mm-hmm. Like, ever.
Yeah.
Like, there's just no window for that.
No, for sure. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
All right. Well, drawing things to a close, some final thoughts. How are we feeling? What's the vibe?
I feel good.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. Yeah. We're going to go take the dog for a walk after this. Like, life's good, you know.
Yeah. I think we've said most of the things that all of the things that I can think of that.
Yeah, the things that, you know, I was obviously watching the previous show, you know, with the two of you. And I thought it was a fantastic show, and I enjoyed watching it. Obviously, as someone who's, you know, really directly involved with a lot of the stuff, there was things where I was sort of thinking, well, I'd like to express my opinion on that, you know, I've got a thought on that or whatever. I feel like I've covered everything that I wanted to say, you know.
Yeah.
I'm glad that we did it like this as well, because originally, this was going to be the original setup for it. And then, you know, from where else. But I feel like this show is very different, because it gives an insight into the both of you. Last time it was an insight into Charlotte and her work and just that lifestyle. Now it's an insight into the both of you, and it's a very different vibe. And I want to thank the both of you for doing that, for giving us an insight into that, and showing how you can be successful from this, and most importantly, happy as well.
Yeah.
It's nice to see.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you very much. Like, appreciate
it. Express
our opinions on some of the comments and just elaborate more.
Absolutely. Well, you're always welcome back on the show, and thank you so much for appearing. And to all the listeners and watchers of the Christian Reeve podcast, as always, If you are watching on YouTube, make sure to like, share, and subscribe. Spread the word, share it around. Check out the Clips channel. I don't mention this enough. I'm trying to grow it. I have a Clips channel for the YouTube. It's Christian Reeve Podcast Clips on YouTube. Please go and subscribe there. If you can't be asked to watch the whole show, go check out the clips. There you go. Don't say that I'm not trying for you. If you listen to the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review, a like, comment, share, any of that. It really, really helps us out. Also, I'm trying to push this Podchaser website. I don't know if people do use it. I like to say it's kind of like the IMDb of podcasting. But yeah, please leave us a review there. And if you want to support everything that I do and the show itself, you can do so on Patreon. Patreon.com/Christian Reeve gets you access to my other monthly show, Life with Christian Reeve. Monthly behind the scenes content. So we're talking like acting, music, you name it. Go check it out. Patreon.com/Christian Reeve. Thank you so much for watching and listening. And until the next time, see you in the next one.